The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all brought to you by, and proudly so, by BetMGM. I asked, I said, are you pride? Do you have a lot of pride in this sponsorship? And they said yes. That conversation never happened, Jeff. Jeff Parlay is here as well. It's Gil Alexander. How you doing, Jeff? Are you good?
I'm good. I saw the new Top Gun movie yesterday.
That
you are not seeing.
My brain doesn't work that way.
How could you possibly not see it, Gil?
Oh, well, Jason Kahn beats me over the head with it all the time. Really, Gil? Not Top Gun?
But it was, you know what? It was very, I won't spoil too much, but it was very watchable. It was very entertaining. Tom Cruise thanks you personally before the film for going to the movie theater.
Stop it. Really?
Yes, he does.
Wow.
It was very, very interesting, but it was a fun movie.
Just what you need. Personal thanks from Tom Cruise. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Las Vegas Chris said he liked Elvis better, so you should go see that next.
Well, that's supposedly like two hours and 40 minutes.
Ooh, that's a big commitment.
That's a long movie.
All right, so we're packed with guests this morning. Chris Felica will join us. He started talking college football with us last week. He had three plays. We'll rehash those. He'll give us more. That's coming up in about 10 minutes, a little more than that, 15 minutes. Chris Felica will join us. Josh Towers on baseball. Jason Weingarten on not only baseball, but from under a cloud of smoke, all the things he's betting these days in the sports betting world. We will also we'll also have Dan Weston, first week of Wimbledon. Dan Weston will be on the show as well, and Brady Cannon on golf. Speaking of Wimbledon, three plays today. Again, if you ask me on Twitter, at Beating the Book, I will give you the plays that I am betting each and every day at the prices that I'm betting them. We have three today. One is deep in already. Two still to come. We'll flash those up on the screen real quick. Adrian Mannarino still to come, plus 125 over Tommy Paul. Adrian Mannarino really pesky on grass. Just a really great ability to change directions of shots on this surface. He's just not good on others, but on this one, he is just spectacular at times. Tim Van Rijthoven, hey, there you go. Took Van Rijthoven over Opelka. Didn't get the best price. Remember, the best price was available when we were on the air yesterday, but this is what I played it at yesterday. So I've got, in a battle of serve bots, I'm going with Van Rijthoven over Riley Opelka, who really hasn't been his best, quite frankly. He sort of peaked during hard court season last year. The one that is already deep in right now is a battle of two Ukrainian ladies, Lesya Tsarenko and Angelina Kalinina. If your last name was Kalinina, wouldn't you name your daughter Angelina? Just so you say Angelina Kalinina. We are in the third set on serve. Tsarenko up 4-3. So this one is going to come down to the nitty-gritty. So that one already deep in. Let's see if we can get home a plus 120 dog to start the day. All right, NFL. Jeff, you want to start with some NFL today? Why don't we start with some NFL? Jeff said thumbs up. By the way, are we doing brunch after this menu or lunch? What have you decided?
Some sort of thing.
All right. Jeff and I are going to break bread later today. Very exciting. Okay. So NFL awards, it is late June, but this is sort of fun to look at. You want to start? I'll let you serve them up, Jeff. Which one do you want to start with, coach or comeback?
We're going to start with the coach of the year.
Okay.
Here, and these are from BetMGM. So, as always, Gil, and this—
Oh, these are very different from the ones I saw.
And I'm going to just say exactly what you just said there. These numbers, more than any market that I noticed, are very different book to book. Very, very much different. In comparison, we can throw them on the screen right now. So these are BetMGM odds, of course, the sponsor of our show. There is another book, predominant book in town here, that has Doug Peterson as the favorite. BetMGM has Brian Daboll as the favorite at 10-1.
Is the one I sent you that had Doug Peterson as
a
short shot?
Had Doug
Peterson and had Sean McDermott as
correct.
The short shot, which is, that was my first reaction, which is like, wait a minute. How is Sean McDermott the short shot after two consecutive years where the Bills had much more space to sort of improve, at least just in standings initially and then in terms of playoff run? now he would get coach of the year? Like, what else could he? I don't understand it. Like, just because they would get over the hump, he'd get it?
And it's funny because you look at our screen right now.
He's not even on it.
Not even in the top 14.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
This makes more sense. Maybe there was some liability issue with that particular book. But that was my first reaction, was like, how is Sean McDermott the co-short shot? Now,
That was crazy to me.
Doug Peterson is, he is on this.
Peterson's 14-1.
Well, he certainly has, I mean, the juxtaposition, the contrast between him and the Urban Meyer administration from last year, good Lord. He certainly can come out smelling like roses, that's for sure. Do you buy that Brian Daboll should be the short shot here at BetMGM?
No. No, because the Giants, in order for him to win that award, have to probably get the 7 wins,
But if they do?
If they do, he's going to have a really good shot to win the award. You know what's fascinating with this market, even more so than usual in the past, Gil? Brian Daboll, first-time head coach, new spot. Kevin O'Connell, 14-1, co-second favorite. New coach, new spot. Peterson, co-second favorite, new spot. McDaniel, first-time head coach, new spot, 16-1. McDaniels, new spot, 16-1. Hackett, new spot, 16-1. All these guys who are now inherited new jobs, they're basically all pretty much one of the three favorites in this market.
So I think you make the best point of all of this, at least in the BetMGM market here. And isn't your reaction to that so many of all of the new coaches are all the way at the top of this? Isn't that completely illogical to you?
I don't make much sense of it. The other new coaches are all 30-1. By the way, Bowles is 30-1 in Tampa. Allen is 30-1 in New Orleans. Which, by the way, that's too long. That's way too long.
Yeah, because if they end up having, and by the way, the New Orleans Saints, judging by all their actions this offseason, we talked about this on Primetime Action because Matt Brown is super tuned into the Saints. He is very bearish on the Saints, but the Saints are acting like they can win the division.
They're acting like they're still a playoff team. And then Eberflus is 30-1 in Chicago.
Eberflus.
So I save your money on Matt Eberflus, probably.
So this opens up many a betting opportunity, I believe, this market, because if they're throwing so many of those rookie coaches as the short shots, that's not who I would bet. Even if they weren't right, I wouldn't look to them in their first year. Sure, is it possible that some rookie coach has this unbelievable season? Obviously, we pointed out Doug Peterson. I get it. He's been coached before. He's won a Super Bowl. He could come out smelling like roses compared to the Urban Meyer stuff. I get that. And I get that any one of these teams that soars, oh, rookie coach, you got to give it to him. But I think you have to take a longer shot here in this market. I don't think you can bank on that happening. You ready for this? Can I make requests and you give me a number? And work with me here. And Cerenko breaks Kalinina. She has it on her racket. Can you please not get broken back? She's already down love 15. Where is Ron Rivera?
He is 30-1.
Okay. Now, work with me here. The reason that I ask about Ron Rivera is, who has dealt with more distraction than this guy? From the top, Daniel Snyder subpoenaed by Congress. Daniel Snyder turning his chin up. What's the expression? Turning your nose up at that subpoena, whatever it is. Wants no part of it. Doesn't feel like he's going to even acquiesce to it, but that's not the point. You have all this thing swirling around in ownership, justifiably so. And this just in, your owner's the worst human being on earth. Or maybe not worst, but he's up there. You just had the Jack Del Rio thing, where Jack Del Rio called the January 6th matter a dust-up, famously. I was in D.C. I was on Reese Waters, who was kind enough to have me on the show, and D.C. has me on fairly frequently, and I enjoy more than anything being on the radio in D.C. because that's where I grew up. And the thing that plagues that market is when they talk about that football team, 80% of what they talk about is off-the-field stuff. 20% is finally Terry McLaurin signed. What was that? Why did that take so long? That's a huge thing. But it's first of all, that's on the heels of course, the name change. Now you have a regional change where you go from, You know, now they're building a stadium further outside of D.C. in Woodbridge, Virginia. I'm just saying, if Washington won that division, which is not a, I mean, of all divisions where you could see a team rising up and winning, I get a lot of people like, well, if, that's a huge if. I don't think it's that huge of an if.
Your biggest hurdle is Carson Wentz.
Without question.
It is not even close there. But
I guess what I'm saying is I would take a shot on someone like that.
So it's I'm happy you brought up someone who's in that 30-1 range. I actually think Dennis Allen at 30-1 actually is not a bad play.
I don't think so either.
Because if the Saints make the playoffs,
yeah.
That roster, I'm kind of in the camp of what Matt Brown is. I don't think that roster is that good. But we have seen, even though Sean Payton isn't there anymore, it's still basically the same sort of team. It's just no Sean Payton there. So we're going to see how much of the Sean Payton DNA remains there with the Saints. Also, Michael Thomas might actually play this year, which would be nice for them. So I would look to Allen at 30-1. And don't laugh me out of the building on this. But if the Pittsburgh Steelers overachieve yet again, which they always seem to do.
I actually like this, yeah.
Mike Tomlin at 30-1 is another one that I think down the board is worth a play.
I think that's a very, very bettable market. And we don't typically talk as much about awards here on this show maybe as others, and we certainly don't talk about it in June. But these fluctuate from book to book wildly, as we just pointed out again. What was the other one? William Hill that I pointed out? William Hill had...
Yeah, William Hill Caesars, yeah.
Had McDermott and Peterson as the short shot. McDermott being just sort of like, I cannot explain that. They're already good. Why would you... Would you sort of give him a Lifetime Achievement Coach of the Year award, I guess, in that case? Anyway, fascinating market. Chris Velika adding more college football season-long bets next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Alessia Tsarenko does get the win, a gutty three-set win over her country mate, Angelina Kalinina. So we get on the board and tennis this morning. With a dog, which means we're just under a unit down, I think, now for the young mid-third day Wimbledon season. So it's been choppy to begin with, for sure. But there's a long way to go, and we're right there about to tread water, which is, by the way, more than I could say for some, as I've been hearing just sort of anecdotally, that it's been a rough start to tournaments for many. But we're happy to be where we are. We'll see if we can get... in the black here by the end of the day. Chris Velika is the bear, everybody, at ESPN. College Game Day, Daily Wager, Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. You can get him all three ways. And he's here now with us to talk some college football. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing okay. Just sitting here just watching the tennis, as I'm sure you are, and taking it all in.
Yeah, Joker.
Yeah, what got her cash got me. I didn't like him necessarily to go far, but as soon as Davidovich Fekina pulled that ridiculous shot and blew it at 40 love, and then he blew the set, I hopped it on her cash. She was like -110 at that point, and that beat me up pretty good the other day. Had a multiple break up a break twice in the final set. I think it was up 7-4 in the tiebreak, and then blew it. So yeah, that got me pretty good. So. Yeah, we're a little behind because of that, but we'll try and get it back here.
Oh, what a gut wrenching loss that was too. 10-8 in the fifth set tiebreaker when it was 7-4, I believe, in favor of Urkacz at one point there. Obviously, Urkacz coming from the dead to even face that situation, and you were in on it. Let me just ask you before you get to more college football plays: mm-hmm. Mike Leach re-signing an extension at Mississippi State. Your thoughts?
Why? why? Who's coming to hire him? Were there coaching news out there that someone's coming for Mike Leach?
Outbidding themselves.
There's a reason he won. Are they just looking to try and get Ole Miss's College World Series title off the front page there in the Jackson Clarion Ledger or something? I don't get it. Why did you decide to do this right now in the middle of the summer when, they're a team that some people think could be sneaky good in the SEC? So now what happens if they go 4-8 and you've extended him to this type of salary? They're going to be barking for him to be on the hot seat again. So yeah, I don't get why you do it right now. It makes no sense.
All right, let's rehash what picks you gave out last time. You said Will Anderson to win the Heisman, standout defender for Alabama. You got him at what number?
40-1.
It was about 28-1, I think, when we did it. You still said that's a good number. And then what were your two-season win totals again?
I had Oklahoma under 9.5 and Georgia over 10.5.
Georgia, assuming they lose one, where's the second loss ever coming from, basically?
Kind right, of thing exactly.
Okay. What would you like to add today, sir?
Ohio State over 10.5 in a similar thought process with Georgia. I just don't know where the multiple losses come. I mean, they're going to be a two touchdown favorite over Notre Dame in the opener, and that's considered to be one of their tougher games. The Michigan game is at home this year. Who knows what you're going to get from Penn State this year? I mean, they still have some quarterback problems that they need to work through. Michigan State, I think, on the road they've had trouble in East Lansing in the past, but. When these games are perceived to be hyped and close, Ohio State has mostly taken care of them. They did have the one upset loss in 2005, but I just don't know who on that schedule is going to be able to score with Ohio State. I mean, you've got multiple great receivers, you got a great running back, and you got a great quarterback. Yeah, their defense might give up some points, but if you're looking probably at maybe the second closest spread. I mean, I don't even have the projections in front of me. But what do you think? At Penn State might be might be the next best chance to lose to Notre Dame. Could they slip up one? Sure, at 11-1, but I don't see 10-2 for Ohio State. So I went over, laid some juice with Ohio State over 10.5, and then I went a little bit off the grid for my second one, and I went South Florida under. And I'm sure Sean King is going to send me a text here joking and nabbing at me pretty soon here. But I saw his tweet last night about they're going to beat BYU in the opener. Okay, sure. I don't think people realize how bad South Florida was last year. I mean, their wins were over FAMU and Temple, who was the worst team in the American last year. I know they brought in Bohannon at quarterback to replace who left Baylor. But defensively, they were terrible. Offensively, they had trouble scoring points. You're looking at a non-conference schedule of BYU, Florida, and Louisville. But for a team in the American who's one of the bottom-level teams in the conference, you're three of your four non-conference games, in addition to Howard or that, it's going to be hard for them to. I mean, you're not winning at Houston. You're not winning at Cincinnati. You're probably not winning at Tulsa. SMU could be. Potentially be a sneaky good team this year. You host them, and then you host UCF. I don't see five. If they go 5-7 to beat me, I mean, God bless them. But under 4.5 for South Florida was the other win total that I added.
Under 4.5 for South Florida, the other one. So that's a total of four totals and a Heisman pick. Let me just ask you this, because we never, we come here, we talk about eight different sports with you, literally, by the way, eight different sports. Mm-hmm. When we talk about college football, we're talking about, regular season wins. We're talking about conference futures sometimes. We rarely, because apparently we're too cool for school and we don't want to be that. We rarely just talk about national championship, right? Because it's so top heavy in college football, and it's always the usual suspects. But let me just sort of spin it this way. If it's not the usual suspects, if I said to you, all right, Chris, you are forced to make a wager, right? We did a little bit of this last year, and I believe one of the more famous answers to this question was Kenny White was like NC State, right? He just went off the grid because I don't know. In his case, I may not have even forced him to answer the question. But if I ask you, I said, okay, it's not the usual suspects. It's not Bama. It's not Ohio State. It's not Georgia. Who's the team that you would put your money on at the current odds?
Oh, goodness.
You must make a wager.
I must make a wager? I can't even say what.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't answer the question.
But it would have to be a team. It would have to be a team like Texas A&M. That would be an obvious answer, because it has to be a team capable of beating
right.
Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State, like two of those three teams in the playoff. And there are very few teams that have the talent on the roster and the depth on the roster through recruiting that are capable of doing that. So I wouldn't even consider like Clemson in that group. If I put Clemson in that Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, like stride. I mean, I don't think they're as good as them this year, but I kind of put them in that elite-type group of what we've seen in college football. But I would say A&M only because they're one of the few teams that has the talent and the potential. And they beat Alabama last year as a big underdog, and they should be pretty good on the defensive side of the ball again. So if I had to play one, it would be them, and I'm sure that's a pretty common answer.
No, I think that's a very sort of heady answer to that question, because they get to stare them right face to face. So they have a legitimate opportunity to take matters into their own hands. All right, last question. We have a minute left. Let's just randomly, and I'm putting you on the spot here because we didn't really talk about this in advance, but conference futures for all conferences are out there at certain books. Same sort of, not really the same kind of question, but just a question about any conference. You could pick any of them. What's a long shot play? What's not a conventional wisdom play right now in any conference in America that you might consider? We won't hold you to it, but you might consider right now here in late June.
No. There's one for this, and I like it. TCU is around, I think, 18 to 1 maybe or so to win the Big 12. I mean, you bring in Sonny Dykes as a head coach. Max Duggan is there, a quarterback, as well as Chandler Morris. You got one of the better wide receivers in the country, and Quentin Johnson. The way the schedule breaks down, they get Oklahoma at home early in the year. I mean, there's a chance that Oklahoma State at home. I think at the end of Gary's tenure last year, it was kind of a, I don't want to say joyless program, but I think the players, like, just sometimes you just need a freshening. And I think that's what happened at TCU. I think Gary did an unbelievable job there, and I think maybe the players ultimately just started tuning in. They had a million injuries last year, by the way. But if you're looking for a price play, TCU in the Big 12 would be the one I definitely would look at.
All right. As soon as you say Sonny Dykes, I think of Bob Stoll in my ear in San Francisco years ago when he was at Cal, just railing on Sonny Dykes. Thank you, Chris.
Better fit in the state of Texas than California.
Good to talk football with you again. Coming back.
Take care. Yep.
You too. Josh Towers on baseball next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today. You'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it. The cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Got some tweets on that NFL Coach of the Year. We'll read those a little later. We may have to revisit it later on the show. Josh Towers, our own Josh Towers, joins us now. At No Don't Josh is where you can follow him on Twitter. Former MLB pitcher. How you doing, Josh?
Gilly, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, man, we hear you well today. Good. I'm doing very well. I want to ask you some, because there's yes-no playoff stuff out there, and I haven't really asked you about that. I've asked others about it, from a more analytical standpoint. I want to get your eye test on some of these things. But before that, real quick, because the version of Josh Towers I love most, and I think I speak on behalf of everybody, is salty Josh Towers. So a couple nights ago, the Yankees are playing the A's. You probably know where I'm going with this. It was a couple days ago. Actually, it wasn't even a night game. But the A's are up, and then the Yankees tie them up. Anyway, you have this sequence. I believe it was the seventh inning. Don't hold me to that. But there's catcher's interference when Aaron Judge is up. Two batters later, pitching change. I believe there was a pitching change, so it wasn't the same pitcher. Which obviously didn't matter to the catcher, apparently. Then there's a catcher's interference. First it was, and then it was Giancarlo Stanton, right? It was Aaron Judge first, catcher's interference. Giancarlo knew it and had to like point it out to the umpire. He's like, "Yeah, I got to interfere with you guys. Should be aware of this." If that's you, first of all, have you ever seen that happen in the same inning before? Because I literally, in my life watching baseball, don't think I've ever seen it in the same inning. And if you were the manager, how absolutely out of your gourd would you be?
You're talking about two catchers' interference in the same inning.
Correct. Two bat, like literally yeah. three at-bats, within three at-bats of each other.
It's amazing because I think it was the Blackburn game. Blackburn was pitching really well.
Correct.
They had the lead, and then the bullpen gave it up. Yeah. Great game for Oakland to win, too, and for the bullpen to choke. You never see two in a row. Like, it happens every now and again. The catcher's trying to steal a strike, et cetera, and or hitter swing sometimes just get long, and they guess wrong, and then their hands drop, so they're late on the pitch. But it really isn't that common. And then what will happen immediately is the catcher always takes a half step back, so it doesn't happen again. And so for the catcher to do it twice, it's kind of rare, especially with those two. Judge's swing has been so good, and Stan's swing's gone awful, but he's so strong, it doesn't matter, right? So you never see that. But yeah, I'm losing my mind because we're winning that game. We're a struggling team. Like, mistakes like that, like, you can never make. You don't see winning teams make mistakes like that. And then you see immediately what it did to the bullpen, to the pitchers. It just rattles you, and it takes you out of your game, which is why we need to start working on the mental side more than the physical side of this game.
All right, let me ask you, because I haven't asked you this, about from your eye test, you follow Major League Baseball. We're not quite at the halfway point of the season. Our Q2 derivative show is next week with Mark Borchardt, where we go through all the betting stats, first five, proprietary first inning numbers, whole bunch of stuff that we love doing traditionally on not only this show, but Beating the Book and Betting Dork as well before that. So the American League, right now, if we do the old playoffs are to start thing, four teams are coming out of the AL East, Josh. Four of them. And the Orioles, by the way, ain't too far behind. I just want to point that out.
No.
But right now, the closest team on the outside looking in of all teams would be the Texas Rangers. How many people, if I polled, would get the answer to that right? Who's the closest team right outside the outside looking in the American League? It's the Rangers, 36 and 37. But here's my question.
Or Cleveland?
You're right. Cleveland would be. Pardon me. You're exactly right. 37 and 34. Cleveland. Pardon me. Texas would be next. My mistake. Yeah. All right. The question is this. Do you think come end of the year that we will have in this expanded playoffs four teams from the AL East?
Yes, I do, actually. Look at the West. Houston, to me, is the best team in baseball. I know the Yankees and Mets have some pretty good records, but I just think Houston's a really good team. But the Yankees are dangerous because their pitching staff is so good, which also makes Houston so dang good. I mean, if you watch Framber Valdez yesterday, if he ain't arguing for tops in the game, I don't know who is. The Central is just crazy. Like, the White Sox are starting to get healthy, but I just seem like there's so much animosity amongst that dugout, and the fans are every day against them. It's hard to get on that rhythm of everybody on the same page. And you love Cleveland, but they seem to be this team, you know, around 500, a couple games above. And so I think it's going to be hard for anybody in that division because they just kind of beat each other up. The rest of the AL West is just god awful. I mean, we knew this was going to happen with all of them. Texas is a little bit of surprise at almost 500, but the Angels, we knew this would happen too. Seattle, maybe a little bit of surprise because of how well they have played. You guys know I love Toronto. I think this team's fantastic. But listen, if Berrios, if you say, if these guys don't clean it up, it's going to be tough for them. I think they still get in because they're so loaded, and Alex Manoah and guys like that are picking them up, and Gazi. But, like, they got to win games like they did last night late, which you don't really always want to do. Berrios is going to have to clean it up for them. And we know Tampa's always going to be in the mix. They just play differently.
Berrios has just never gotten it together with this team. Just never gotten it together. Yeah.
Not at all, man.
By the way, the yes-no to make the playoffs on the three teams that we're talking about below the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and, of course, the Rays, the Blue Jays minus 1,400. Yes. No.
Wow.
No plus 900. Wow. I didn't think it would be that stark of a difference for the Blue Jays to make the playoffs. The Red Sox minus 250, yes, plus 200, no. And the Rays minus 165, yes, and the no plus 135. So the market favors four teams from the AL East, obviously behind the Yankees, who, again, my historical comparison, they are currently one game behind the 2001 Seattle Mariners in their standings, the 116 eventual win Seattle Mariners of 2001. By the way, the Mariners lose their next two games, so the Yankees have a chance to get ahead of them here. Yes, for those
it's so hard for me to compare even 20 years later. It's so hard, but having faced that Mariners team, like, I'd face this Yankee team over them 9 days a week. That Mariners team was loaded.
Oh, they were also, how can I put this, Josh? Maybe enhanced? I don't know. Just going to throw that out there.
That made it so much more fun, Gil.
Yes.
That's what made it fun back then.
Not Edgar, though. Edgar was a professional hitter no matter what. All right, National League. So the same sort of question, obviously. Yeah. The Giants being the first, the Giants and the Phillies, but the Giants being the first of the teams on the outside looking in. Right now, Mets, defending champ Braves, Brewers, Cardinals, Dodgers, Padres. Do you think it will be those six when all is said and done?
That's what I mean. Listen, St. Louis and Milwaukee are going nowhere. They're going to run away with that division, clearly. But that's not a surprise. Los Angeles, San Diego. You got to be impressed with San Diego. I mean, as the manager changes,
it's
the most important thing that's not talked about. Still no Tatis on that lineup, so that's very, very valuable for them. Atlanta's starting to do what they did last year. I mean, they started at the second half last year. They started a little earlier this year, and then we're seeing the Mets hit a skid a little bit right now. But again, in the wings, hopefully we got Jacob DeGrom, and we definitely got Max Scherzer. So, like, they get a bolstered staff at some point. So it makes the Mets very valuable. Listen, I can't emphasize enough. Like, and I was just going to ask you that: is there another team in these contentions in your mind where a loss of Bryce Harper is this monumental to the team? Because without Bryce, I don't think the Phillies have a chance.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think
so. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
So again, to your question, like, if we're talking about Bryce being out forever, we know it's a two-man race in the Central. Miami and Washington are not going to play. So, like, we got 2-2, and then you go down to the West. And listen, you're a San Francisco fan. We love them, but I mean, they don't have, like, Rodon's your guy, right? I know Webby's really good at home, but, like, it's not the same team as last year in San Diego, and the Dodgers are so dang dominant. Like, there's a very, very good chance that it does end up with these six, and that doesn't happen that often this early in the season.
Yeah, Giants minus, again, DraftKings, yes, no's. Giants minus 140, yes, to make the playoffs, plus 115, no. Which is interesting to me. I thought I was going to get a much better number than that. And then in terms of
the no there.
Yeah, well, yeah, not really.
It's six teams in each, right?
Yeah, six expanded playoffs this year, where again, the top two division winners get a bye. The worst division winner plays the worst wild card team, the number three wild card in a best of three. That is all at the division winner's home stadium. And the number one plays the number two wild card in each league, with all three games in the best of three at the number one wild card team's stadium. So that's the quirk of this year's postseason. So anyway, it's very
That's kind of fun.
It's going to be fun.
And again, like, yeah, I know you want to be the home team in any point in any sport, like, especially baseball, man. But like, I we don't care about going on the road. There's certain cities that just are as comfortable as home does. And a lot of these guys play everywhere. So, I mean, listen, home outside of being a home team, there's not that big of an advantage.
Josh, I got a documentary recommendation for you. You can watch it on YouTube. Facing Nolan. About Nolan Ryan. It is spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. Done by my buddy Dave Check, who did Action on Showtime. But here's the greatest Nolan Ryan. Yeah, please do. Greatest Nolan Ryan stat of all time. Most no-hitters. Also the most one hitters, two hitters, and three hitters in the history of baseball. Wimbledon with Dan Weston next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. And do not forget, always something going on there. Turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back and free bets up to $25. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to take advantage of the offer all season long. Just opt in to the one-game parlay insurance promotion, then place a one-game parlay wager with four legs or more on any Major League Baseball game. If you miss only one leg on your wager, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, or Washington, D.C. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Dan Weston standing by. Before we get to Dano, Jeff, we were just talking yes-no playoffs with Josh Towers, Major League Baseball. You said the one you like the best is?
Well, just, again, strictly a numbers play here.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee, so on the yes-no, the no portion is plus 380 at DraftKings. That feels like a one where you just take a price.
Yeah.
And if they beat you, they beat you.
Right.
Because the rest of the market where, again, they're only a half game clear of St. Louis right now.
You're learning, kid.
I mean, the Cardinals, yes, no, is yes minus 150, no plus 1.25. Like
Giants only three behind.
Only three back. Yeah. I think that's, again, Milwaukee's getting healthier pitching-wise, so that very easily could lose. But at that price, that feels like that's too good to pass up. And if they beat you, they beat you.
Good on the sports books that have those up around the clock. Each and every day, anyway, up available to bet. Dan Weston joins us from England at Tennis Ratings. You can follow all of his stuff at Betfair. Again, if I had one bet to make in any sport on any given day, this is the man I would come to, and I'd make a tennis bet with him. How you doing, Dano?
Yeah, I'm good, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I guess it's incumbent upon us to start with Serena. Just to sort of give context, Serena Williams yesterday, sort of out of the blue, she decided, I'm going to play Wimbledon, which we didn't see coming. Obviously, she's one shy of Margaret Court's record of 24 Grand Slams. We've been saying that forever. I don't think it's ever going to happen at this point. We sort of speculated maybe it's because it's grass that she wanted to, you know, maybe her best shot to win one. Anyway, she loses to Harmony Tan. It featured, among other things, a 20-minute second game of the third set, which was excruciating to watch. It's absolutely excruciating. And it ended with a comical, like, moon ball that Harmony Tan just shanked. Anyway, Serena loses it in a third set tiebreaker. I was just happy she didn't pass out, Dan, to be honest with you, as I think I speak for many. Is this the last? I guess the question is this the last we'll see of Serena?
Well, it's certainly, I think, what you said earlier about her not having the opportunity to win another slam title, I think, is now very evident. I think it would be a gigantic shock if she won another one. And I think when we were on the pod last week with Drew, we spoke about and we said maybe making week two would be a success for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she obviously didn't match that with that loss against Tan. Now, I watched almost the entirety of the match, apart from...
Me too.
About 20 minutes at the start of the third set where I had to go and pick up my daughter. So I drove 10 minutes down the road, drove 10 minutes back, and I thought that the TV had paused itself because the set hadn't progressed at all.
It's amazing.
I realized it was a 20-minute game, yeah.
And the quality, yeah. And would you say, I was joking with somebody, I was like, the quality of this tennis appears to me to be that of my local JCC, which is an organization here. But it was tough to watch, man.
I was kind of supporting the underdog Tan because the British commentary was so biased towards Serena. I like the plucky underdog as well, you know. So
it wasn't just the British. You know, Carolyn Wozniacki. And by the way, Jeff, if Carolyn Wozniacki wants to read me a Fangraphs page anytime she wants, she is welcome to. She's an awesome delivery on air. But she is Serena's buddy, right? They're really good friends. And so, yeah, it was the same on our end. In fact, at the end of the match, this has nothing to do with sports betting, but I feel the need to say this. At the end of the match, so Serena, you know, loses. She goes up and she shakes Harmony Tan's hand. And Wozniacki's comment was, the always classy Serena Williams. And I thought to myself, that's probably not accurate, right? Like, can we all agree on that? That's not really how history has shown it to be. How has it gone for you? Your picks yesterday what did we have? We had Tsang that didn't get there, but Bergs did, correct?
Yeah, and we had in the early game as well, Elise Cornet beating Business Saver as well. So, and today, I think we mentioned last night, Greek Sport plus 5.5, just below even money, just a little bit less than even money against Alcaraz. Well, we've beaten the market in that because you can actually take a lower price to get half a game less now. So we've certainly beaten the market there.
Mm-hmm.
So the line's now 5 rather than the 5.5. So that game's not going to be scheduled until this evening, one of the later games on court this evening.
So that's Talon, Greek Spor, Dan got it, plus 5.5 games. Now it'd be plus 5 versus Carlitos Alcaraz or Charlie Alcaraz. By the way, would you recommend taking the 5, Dan?
I genuinely think the it's still a decent line, to be fair. I just can't understand how the market is pricing up Greek Spor as having barely a better chance than Struff, who has had a really quite poor year so far. Greek Spor is pretty impressive, and we didn't see a lot from Alcaraz that shows that he's particularly competent on grass when he played Struff. So, yeah, I think the 5's still fine. Obviously, the early bird catches the worm, I guess, to some extent as well with the value.
Yeah. Did you have anything else that you gave out yesterday for today? I can't remember now.
No, because I didn't look at the women's in advance.
Didn't look at the women's. Yeah, what did you have?
I have today. I'm a bit more prepared today with, obviously, with all the rain delays.
All
the rain delays yesterday, it was tough, right? From Monday, it was tough because a lot of games are being rescheduled.
Yeah.
2 for you. I like Andreescu tomorrow against Elena Rybakina. Contrasting styles, but Andreescu's done better in the grass warm-up events. People say, well, you know, she reached the final of Bad Homburg and you shouldn't get to the final of warm-up events the week before a Grand Slam, but she only played 9 sets in the process because she got a walkover in the semi-final as well. And she only dropped 4 games in round one. Rybakina struggled past Coco Vandeweghe in round one. And while she's certainly a grass courter who has pedigree from back in the day, she's not at the level she is now. So that was a negative for Rybakina, I think, as well.
Coco you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So for me, Andreescu is a sort of slight favourite. Looks to be some value to me. And then in the men's, there's quite a lot of sort of discussion points. But me, the standout is Mackenzie McDonald against Richard Gasquet. Because Gasquet's 36. He's just played a 5-set that's lasted over 3.5 hours. He's not the fittest anyway. And he hasn't played a grass warm-up match at all. So for me, McDonald is a sort of slightish favorite. Looks to be the pick for me.
Yeah. So Dan's 2 picks for tomorrow. He's taking Bianca Andreescu against Elena Rybakina. I think, as I mentioned on the podcast last week, I'm like, I think I have Andreescu fatigue waiting for her to, you know, become that champion again. But that's not to say that I don't think she's going to win tomorrow. I'm with you. I hope your bet gets home. I haven't looked at it yet. And then the other one that Dan just mentioned, going with Mackie McDonald, the American, Mackenzie McDonald, over Richard Gasquet, which is French for Richard Gasquet. Once again, everybody here in America. But Gasquet, people should know, not only 36 years old, but when he's walking around the court, would you allow? He looks like he wants to just sit down and put his feet up. He looks like his body can't take it anymore. Kind of hunched over, kind of thing. Anything left today? By the way, we only have like 45 seconds left here, Daniel. But anything?
Yeah, for me, it's just the Greek Spor.
Okay.
Waiting for tonight really is the one that I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
Okay. I still have Mannarino and Reithoven to come later today. I'm not sure how you feel about those, but I've got bets on those. Had Zarenko this morning. That got home. Gutty win.
Look at the tiebreak line for the Reithoven.
Yes. I did take your advice. I bet those on the side. Yes. So over. You like the over 12.5 games in set number one.
It's definitely got a decent chance if you're over even money. I haven't really run the math on it that much, but I think that's definitely way more than an even money shot.
Yeah, I would even, for me, I even, to be honest with you, frisky on the side, I even took a specific Reithoven 7-6 first set at like plus $2 or something like that, but based on your your thoughts there on that as well. We'll see if that gets home. A little fun bet on the side that's not really our bread and butter. Thank you, Dano. We'll talk to you tomorrow again. This is such a treat having you every day, man.
Cheers, Gil. Take care. See you tomorrow.
Dan Weston, everybody. Picked up his daughter, came back home, still in the same game with Serena yesterday. Was ridiculous. Was absolutely ridiculous. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on Baseball and More next on A Numbers Game at Visa.